Our scripture reading this evening may be found in the book of Genesis, chapter 22. Genesis 22, where we read the word of God as follows. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abram went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abram called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. I'd like to call your attention to verses 7 and 8 particularly. Let's read them once again. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. First of all, beloved, we ought to return to that very first verse in the chapter and change the translation that we have here in the King James Version. Notice, this is what we read. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. God didn't tempt Abraham. In fact, you may turn to the book of James, for example, James 1. This is what you read in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So very plainly, the translation is not correct. Oh, I know. You have that quite often in Scripture, that there are words in the Greek language or words in the Hebrew language that have double meaning. And sometimes that word that is used here is translated as to tempt. But that certainly is not the case in this chapter. God does not tempt. The other meaning of that word, both in the Greek and also in the Hebrew languages, means to prove, or if you please, to try. I had you sing that a little while ago even, you notice? This is what you're saying. The Lord has proved and tested us as silver tried by fire. That's it. That's what God did. God tried Abraham as silver is tried by fire. And when silver is tried by fire, that silver is purified. The silver, by means of the heat, that silver begins to melt and runs out of the rock, and it is pure. And that, beloved, is what God does to us. He doesn't tempt us. Oh, he brings things across our pathway that hurt. He causes things to happen that we don't like to have happen. But always, absolutely every time, they are for our good. And that is also the truth here in our text. God tried Abraham's faith. That is, God strengthened it. God purified it exactly by that event that he prepared here. And I'd like to call your attention to that fact when we consider our text also under that theme then. Because really, our text does show a steadfast trust in God. An unshaken trust in God. It shows really an amazing faith that God worked in that servant of his. So let's consider our text then under that theme, a steadfast trust in God. In the first place, we ought to note that it is revealed in a very, very severe trial. In the second place, that it displays a tremendously strong faith on the part of Abraham. And finally, that all these things are possible only by divine grace. Now try as far as that severe trial of Abraham is concerned, beloved. Try to work yourself into the position where he stood. God had given him, according to the very chapter, verse 2 we read, take now thy son, thine only son, if you please. Now I know Abraham also had Ishmael as his son. And if you go to chapter 25, I believe it is, you'll find that Abraham had 8 more sons added to him. But the point in our text is, of course, that Isaac is the only covenant child. Isaac is the only son of David, of Abraham, through whom God will gather his covenant people. They are the ones that are now going to inherit that promised land. I tell you, that's a hard thing. For Abraham, who has only one son, with such a rich promise, which seems now as though that promise cannot possibly be fulfilled, Abraham is sorely tried here. Not only that, God says to him there also that he must go on a 3-day journey. That means that this terrible thing that is going to happen in Abraham's life drags on in his soul for 3 days. Oh, you know, You know, to have a thing happen hurts. To have a thing like that come across your pathway can bring you great misery. But if you know it 3 days ahead of time, you suffer 3 days far differently than you would when God has finished the work and you understand what he has done. And so Abraham, if you please, has to go away all the way to Mount Moriah. He has to go on a long, long journey. And on that long, long journey, Abraham is with that son whom he must kill. That's right. Oh, I know. We have that too. We have fellowship with our children. We have them in our homes. We take them along to church with us. And now Isaac was probably somewhere in the latter teens, middle or latter teens even. But you know, when Abraham and Isaac go together, yeah, they're two servants, they're all right. But when Abraham and those two servants are not only there, but Abraham has fellowship day after day for 3 days, hour after hour, in communication, in fellowship with Isaac, and then all of a sudden that's going to be stopped. That made it harder for him. Much harder. But even beyond that, the very hardest part in this whole event was exactly not simply that Isaac is going to die, that son in whom God has given all these promises, and I can call your attention to that too. Take, for example, Genesis 15, verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, that means Ishmael, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir. So Isaac is going to be Abraham's heir. That is, up till the time now when God says you've got to kill him. But even then, if you go a bit further and you go into Genesis 21, verse 12, and God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah hath said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. Notice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. There you have it. Abraham has to go now on that 3-day journey. Abraham has to go with the promise of God, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He is going to be the one that will beget all the covenant seed in the kingdom of Israel. But as I began to say, it isn't simply now that Abraham has to be told that his son died. That hurts, all right. To be told that somehow or other, somewhere, some way, your son, your daughter, your child died is grief, full of grief, makes you full of grief. Still more. What is even more grievous is exactly to observe the death of that child. If, for example, you are in an automobile accident, or in some other way your child is in the hospital desperately ill and dies, to see the child die, that hurts. Hurts very, very much. But here is something even more powerful. Abraham must with a knife kill that child himself. What an awful situation we have here, simply now merely from a physical point of view. Abraham will lose that child by his own act as required by God. But there's also a spiritual side to it. Don't forget what I read to you a moment ago. God has given Abraham some very, very rich promises of what will happen to Isaac. Rich promises, if you please. Can he now go ahead, believing on the one hand, this is my only covenant son, this is the son in whom God is going to give me covenant seed, and yet I got to go and kill him? That wasn't easy. That was indeed a very, very severe trial on the part of Abraham. Still more. Not only must Abraham then believe that God has promised him covenant seed through Isaac, Abraham must believe something he had never, never heard of, never, never seen. Hold of the truth, because he did say that to Isaac too, you know. He says here in our text, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. The point is this. Abraham had to believe in the resurrection of the dead. Now, that's not hard for you and me to believe. We can read about Elijah and Elisha as they raised people from the dead. We can read about Jesus raising three people from the dead, even the apostles occasionally doing so. We know that that has happened. But don't forget, in this early part of history, Abraham had never heard of a resurrection. Abraham had never seen such a thing, had never seen anybody who died and then arose again from the dead. And that is exactly the severity of this trial. Abraham must not only believe God is going to keep his promise, God is going to give me covenant seed through Isaac. And as I said a moment ago, he was a young lad yet, probably 15, 16 years old, that's all. And Abraham was now 115, 116 years old. He couldn't have any more children. I think when we read there, as I said a moment ago in chapter 25, that Abraham took a wife and her name was Keturah, and then she and another woman, he took another concubine as well, that then he got eight children. That was all before Isaac was born. And by the way, you read that too, by the way, you read that Abraham sent them away. Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived eastward unto the east country. So now really, when this situation took place, Abraham had there in his house only one son. That son has that rich, tremendous promise. God has given that promise to Abraham in that son. He has to believe that. And yet he also has to believe and go ahead and kill that child and believe that God is going to raise him from the dead. That's right. You have that in Hebrews, you know. That's what the Word of God declares to us in Hebrews 11. Here you have this. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. There again, notice his only begotten son. Of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now notice. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. If you please. So very plainly, Abraham believed Isaac is the covenant seed. In Isaac he will give me the fulfillment of his promises. But I've got to do what he says. I've got to do what God says. I've got to go and offer up that child. He'll die. And beloved, if you want to take a point of a more severe element even, not only must Isaac come with that knife and plunge it into the heart of his son and kill him, but notice, and Isaac said, "Here am I," and Isaac said unto his father, "Father," and his father says, "Here am I, my son," and notice, and he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" The point is this. Abraham had not only to kill that child. Abraham had exactly to offer that child up on that altar. Not only shed his blood and take his life away, but then burn him. And you read that a little later on too, that his hands were tied behind his back, his feet were tied, and he was placed on that altar. What a tremendous trial. What a very, very severe trial that God says to Abram. On the one hand, believe my promises that the covenant is going to be realized through Isaac, but also do what I tell you. Slay that child, offer that child up on that altar, and then believe there is a resurrection of the dead. But you know, Abraham had that faith. Oh, yes, he did. Abraham revealed, he displayed a tremendous faith. Oh, if you and I, beloved, could only have half of that. When you and I are confronted with these trials and these temptations, which Satan brings across our way, we're so prone to hesitate and say, "Well, let me think it over. Let me think it over for a couple of days." Not here. Listen. Verse 3. God told Abraham that during the night while he was asleep. But now listen. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. What would you have done, beloved? Suppose God would come to you some night and say that to you, "Take your child and offer him up as a burnt offering." Wouldn't you say, "Well, yeah, since God says I've got to do it, I'll do it all right. But I'd like to wait a week or two. I don't want to do it right away. I'd rather take my time about it." No, that's not Abraham. Abraham rose up early in the morning. We don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us. We don't know whether he told Sarah what he was going to do. It's quite possible that Sarah woke with Abraham in the morning. It's quite possible that Abraham told them, "We are going to Mount Moriah to offer up a sacrifice to the living God." But beloved, with that strong, tremendous faith that Abraham had, he did not tell Sarah that he was going to do what God said, namely, slaying the child. Why? Not because of unbelief. The reason he would not tell Sarah, and it's not recorded here that he ever told her, the reason he would not tell Sarah was exactly this. He didn't want to be tempted. He did not want Sarah to plead and try to stop the whole thing. Wouldn't you mothers do that? If your father would say, "God came to me last night and told me that we've got to take our son or we've got to take our daughter and we have to offer him or her up for a sacrifice," Wouldn't your wife begin to protest, and wouldn't she begin to, in many ways, try to talk you out of it and say, well, you must have had a dream, all right, but that's all it is, it was a dream. It wasn't God speaking, it's just an imagination. No, so strong is that faith of Abraham that he will not tell Sarah, because he does not want to be tempted by man. He does not want Satan to use Sarah the way Satan used Eve to tempt Adam and get him into sin. Not at all. So really, this tremendously earnest and strong faith and trust of Abraham is revealed exactly by what he did and by what he did not do. What is more, we read there that Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two young men with him and Isaac his son. Now, for his own help, of course, we probably don't understand that in this automobile age and so on and so forth, that you'd have to have a couple servants come along with a couple of mules and so on. It was necessary in the day. It was very beneficial. Probably exactly to carry the wood. Probably to carry that little pot of fire. On a 3-day journey, if you please. But notice that Abraham then also said to the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. There too you see the strong faith of Abraham. Oh yes, he could have said to those two servants, come on, bring that lumber up, bring that wood up, and look for stones and make an altar for me. They were his servants. He had a perfect right to tell them what to do. But he deliberately, because of the strength of his faith, he deliberately says, you stay down here on the bottom of the mountain. Why? Exactly for that same reason that he didn't tell Sarah. Remember now that Abraham is 115 years old, 15, 16, 17 years old. He wasn't so strong anymore. He wasn't able to do so many things physically that he had done in the past. And two young servants, they could have overwhelmed him. And if they had gone up with him to the top of the mountain and they had prepared that altar and they had put the wood on, the minute that Abraham was going to tie Isaac's feet and tie his hands, they would have interfered. And Abraham knew that. And therefore Abraham says, no, 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 you stay down here. I don't want you to come up with us. This is not necessary. And then if you please also, here is his faith. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass. And now notice, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Such a strong faith Abraham had. So confident was he of God's promises. So sure was he that you could depend on what God said. That Abram said to those servants, we're both coming back. Yes, he had to plunge that knife into Isaac. He had to offer him up as a burnt offering. And he was so sure that God would fulfill his promises that he says, we will come back. Strong faith, isn't it? Still more. Abraham goes. And Abraham says unto Isaac at the right moment, On the way up, he didn't say that when the two young men were there, when he says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he says, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abram said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Probably it seems, at least from what you read here, that the servants were there and they heard Abram say that. He's had such trust in God that God will provide a lamb for us to offer up. But Abram went. Abraham went in that confidence. Although he could not explain it, and although you and I can see it much more clearly than he could, nevertheless, the fact is that Abraham was so absolutely sure. His faith was so tremendously strong that he could go and he could begin the work that he must perform. But also there's something else we ought to see in parenthesis. It's not written there literally. But beloved, there was also, and I think that's the only instance in Scripture where you find something like that concerning Isaac. But you find a tremendous faith on the part of Isaac too. Just imagine this young lad of 16, 17 years of age, with a father who's 115, 16, 17 years old. Could Isaac not run away? He had to hold his hands for his father to tie them. He had to lie down carefully and not move and let his feet be tied together. Isaac obeyed too. I know that in the epistle to the Hebrews, to which I referred a moment ago, you have that same thing, that by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. But in this whole chapter of Hebrews 11, where you have that strong faith of Isaac, that's the only thing you read about the strength of his faith. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. But it is nevertheless here in our text, in this chapter. Isaac submitted. When he had all the physical power whereby he could refuse and go his own way. That's right. Just try to picture that once. Picture the time when Abraham said to Isaac, Isaac, come here. Let me tie your hands. Let me tie your feet. Before. I've got to lay you on the altar. Before. I have to sacrifice you and offer you up to the living God. That's why we got this wood. That's why we got this fire. Can you imagine then that a young lad would say, All right, Father, if that's what God wants, I'll allow you to do what God requires of you. Do you obey your parents that way, children? Every time they tell you to do something, do you say to keep the law of God, to walk in a way of obedience, to walk in a way of love? Father, I'll do what you say. Of course, there may be times when a father tells a child to do something he shouldn't do. There are times, of course, when ungodly fathers will ask their children and use their children for stealing and the like. Then they've got to say no. But you may be sure that Abraham told Isaac there, we have to do this because God said so. And that indeed was a tremendous faith on the part of Abraham. It also reveals a faith on the part of Isaac. And what Abraham said here to the young men, you may be sure he said also to Isaac. God will provide. We're going to come back. I must slay you, Isaac, because God said so, and I may not break God's law. I must offer you up as a burnt offering, and you're going to suffer of it. But don't be afraid, Isaac. God has said that you are my seed, and through you, he's going to get all the covenant seed of his church. What, beloved, a tremendous, tremendous faith. And the only way you and I can explain that is exactly the grace of our God. He gave us that power. He gave that to Abraham. He gave that to Isaac. But notice, first of all, then, that you read here that Abraham lifted up his eyes after God stopped him. And there again, he obeys perfectly. He had that knife ready. We read it there that Abraham had that knife in his hand, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You may believe that that hand with the knife in it was right over the body of Isaac. And then God says, Abraham, I know your faith. And do not slay Isaac. I will keep my covenant promise in my own way. And he showed that exactly here when Abram turns and sees that ram caught in the thicket by its horns. God did that. And there you have that very, very wonderful truth, beloved. God provides his son. We celebrated that this morning. We partook of the broken bread. We drank of the wine poured out. Believing, being firm, being convinced in our souls that what God has promised us will take place exactly because he sent Christ, not Isaac. He sent Christ there to die for us. That is what we must take hold of. And you and I, beloved, can take hold of that only by God's grace. No other way. Never, never by our own strength. Abraham didn't. It's only exactly because God gave him the grace, God gave him the spiritual strength to do it. That's why he did it. We must never brag. We must never boast about our faith. Yes, you young people too, a time comes when you must confess it. You must appear before your consistory and confess your faith in Christ and in God and in the promises he gives us. But don't brag. Don't boast about it. Faith is always, beloved, God's gift to us. Here. You know that verse, but nevertheless, let me quote it to you again. Paul says this so clearly and powerfully in Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Notice. For by grace are ye saved. That means, of course, that when we are saved by grace, that means we are saved, that salvation is a gift of God, not something we earned, not something we got because we believed. No, 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 even that faith is God's gift to us. Listen, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's very true here too. Notice, that's very true here when you read that Abraham now, after God has called him, then Abraham calls this place Jehovah Jireh, which means exactly Jehovah provides. No boasting on the part of Abraham, no bragging, no haughtiness. No. In humility, because of that sovereign grace of God, whereby he gives his people faith, Abraham now says, I didn't do it. Jehovah, the I Am, the Almighty, unchangeable God, he has provided a lamb. Isn't that what we said this morning too? Isn't that what the sacrament of Holy Communion says? And of which we take hold of by faith? God provided that son. He came into our flesh through a virgin, not through man, through a woman, yes, but because of what God performed in that woman and not because of what a man performed. Salvation is always by grace. Salvation is always a free, complete, 100% gift. We've got to be thankful for it, not boast about it. But let me continue. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now notice, for we are his, that is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Not because of good works, unto good works. Get that again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There it is. That steadfast trust, that amazing faith on the part of Abraham, was a 100% gift of the Almighty God. All exactly because of that ram which God gave. Abraham didn't buy that ram, you know. Abraham supplied that wood. Abraham supplied that fire. But Abraham didn't take one of his own sheep along. Abraham didn't give up something that was his. No. God provided that ram there in the thicket by his horns as a picture of that wonderful cross of Christ. A picture of that which we observed and celebrated this morning. God gave his son. God gave the blood. God gave the death and the suffering of the punishment of his son. God gave it all. Isn't it true, beloved, that when Christ died on that cross, the church didn't want it? Did any one of the disciples want it? Did Mary, the mother of Jesus, want it? Was there anybody that said there, we want him to stay alive? No. But God, using those ungodly men, God gave his son to the death of the cross, forsook him on that cross, all in order that our sins might be blotted out, and in order that today you and I might partake of broken bread and wine poured out as a sign and a seal of our conviction, of our strong faith also in the fact that salvation is God's gift, 100%. So it is. And you have that here very plainly with Abraham. And that means that you and I too should go home tonight. Thankful. Thankful for what God gave us. Thankful that we might be strengthened in our faith this morning in the assurance our sins are blotted out. our guilt is gone. And we may look forward to that day when we live with him in his house of many mansions, with that heavenly blessedness of which we took note this morning, that we will be there with a life that can never, never, never sin. A life that will constantly, continually, more enthusiastically, all through eternity, thank God and praise him for the salvation which he has wrought in his grace. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word.